Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you come out and said, I'm crying every day a few years ago, everyone would back then would have turned around and said, come on, man up, what's up with you? You say it today now because it's so out there and in the public eye. I think people respect you more for saying it now, where back then they'd have laughed at you.
Over the next 2 years, the Rugby League World Cup 2021, in partnership with Movember and alongside Rugby League Cares, are going to be delivering mental fitness workshops to around 8,000 young Rugby League players and their parents. The sessions will teach each person how to look after their own mental fitness as well as that of those around them. Now, to find out why this training is so important, I've come to Manchester to speak to a British sporting legend to see how he struggled with the lowest of the lows and developed strategies to cope.
When you take up boxing, when you begin to become a boxer, when was the moment when you realised, actually, I could be quite good at this, I could make something of my life?
I won my first national title as a schoolboy, won the schoolboy championships as a 13-year-old. And then I think when I was 15, when I first got asked to box for my country, box for England schoolboys in Russia. Mm. And I thought, you know, when I get to 15 and I'm starting to know the sport a little bit better and getting a little bit older and wiser at 15, and I think if you start representing your country and you're walking out to the national anthem and you're boxing, you know, you're putting the England vest over your shoulders and that, I think the penny started to drop. And I didn't, you know, I was always a boxing historian from a young age. I watched all the great champions of old coming through, and I wanted to do what my hero's done. So I moved up a weight division, challenged Louis Collazo for the welterweight title, which I'd done for that. And then it led to Mayweather, Pacquiao, and the manner of which I was winning my fights, and the fan base and the crowds I was taking to these events. It seemed like everybody wanted Ricky Hatton. Yeah. It was a magnificent time for Manchester.
But behind the scenes, you're having times when you personally, in terms of your mental well-being, your mental fitness, you are struggling. Had you ever experienced problems mental health-wise before you became a professional boxer, before you became famous?
I was paranoid about what people thought of me. Mm. There was a little bit of that depressive nature to me from a very young age. And then it all stemmed when I got beat ultimately by Mayweather. And people said to me after the defeat, they went, you shouldn't be embarrassed about getting defeated by Floyd Mayweather. I mean, but I went over there not just for my biggest payday and because it was happy to fight Floyd Mayweather. I went over thinking I was going to beat him, genuinely.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
So then when I didn't, when I come home, I thought I had to cancel all my engagements. I couldn't walk down the street. I thought people was laughing at me. I had to hide my face. I thought, you know, and it's when I look back now, people were proud of me.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was thinking, feel embarrassed. I'd been knocked out there for the first time. I told everyone I was going to go over and win, and I didn't. And I couldn't walk down the street. And that was the start where it really did start to kick in, yeah. People, like they said to me, you know, it's Floyd Mayweather. What's up with you, Ricky? But that didn't enter me. I was just, you know, I just had a vacant lot, and I had that for a good while, and I was thinking of packing the game in. But I eventually did decide to make a comeback, you know, and the best way the fans helped me was my comeback was at the City of Manchester Stadium. I fought Juan Lascano, 60,000 fans, 6,000 tickets sold in 2 weeks. It was unbelievable. And I fought Juan Lescano, and it wasn't my best performance. So people were turning around and saying, yeah, Ricky, it's your time to retire now. So I'm starting to think my career was over. I also split up with my trainer then, Billy Graham, who was also my best friend, because I felt Billy Graham was, you know, having that many injuries. I thought, if I'm going to continue with my career, I need to have a trainer that can give me 100%. And through no fault of Billy's, he couldn't physically do that now. So then I fell out with Billy. So you can imagine, you know, I'm got beat by Mayweather. Performance wasn't good at the City of Manchester. Fell out with Billy Graham. You know, I was at an all time low. And then a fight came up against Paulie Malignaggi, and it was brilliant. In my best performance, stopped him in 11th rounds. Nolan Liam Gallagher carried the belts in for me, and it was brilliant. So I was back up then.
Yeah.
And so, but then I fought Manny Pacquiao, the pound for pound best again, and he destroyed me in 2 rounds, which consequently mean I had to retire. So my head was in like a yo-yo. Down for Mayweather, down for Lescano, fell out with Billy, up for Malignaggi, back up on the top of the world again, down by Pacquiao. And then around the same time as Pacquiao fight, I fell out with my mum and dad, which, you know, that was like the beginning of the end for me. I thought, I've worked so hard to achieve all these things, what I've got. And Billy Graham, my trainer, is not here to share it with me. My mum and dad's not here to share it with me. I haven't got boxing no more. I don't care whether I live or die. And that was rock bottom.
And when you're rock bottom, it's a disconcerting place. It's a fear-filled place, to put it mildly. And the classic bloke thing, from what I've found, from my own personal experience and talking to others, is that blokes tend to isolate themselves. They stop reaching out to others. What did it look like for you when you're in the lowest of lows? Were you reaching out to others or just isolating yourself?
No, just isolating myself at first, because, I mean, I was like, I'd started training boxers and coming in the gym and training the lads and trying to at least fill my days with something to take my mind off, you know, these demons, this voice on my shoulder that was saying this and that to me.
What was that voice saying?
What do you need to be here for? Nobody loves you. You haven't got a mum and dad. You haven't got your best mate, your trainer no more. You haven't got boxing, you know what I mean?
No one cares about you.
No one cares about you, you know. And that's what it was. So I became doing the boxing training, but it was still going on. The boxing training, coming in the gym Monday to Friday, was like my comfort blanket. I'd come on and I'd throw a few smiles and a few shakes, and everyone on the surface thought, Ricky's doing okay. Mm. But then I'd go back home and I'd be, you know, just sat on the settee, and then I'd be like going to the pub, you know. But even when I wasn't going to the pub, I was just sat there on the settee on my own, you know. Sometimes I wouldn't even sat with the TV on. You know, my girlfriend at the time going, Ricky, please don't speak to someone. And in my mind at the time, I thought to myself, I'm Ricky Hatton. I'm not going to go to someone and say I'm crying every day. I'm sat in the dark. I mean, I'm not doing it. I don't worry, love. I'll be all right. And I couldn't, and it gradually got worse and worse.
How bad did it get?
So I was going to the pub, drinking myself to death, you know, drinking like there's every day, like there's no tomorrow. And then, you know, I was, you know, in order, I thought, this ain't working, this, in order to keep me drinking more, keep me drinking for longer, I started taking drugs, which would keep me awake longer, so I could keep drinking more, which would help my mindset of drinking myself to death. And in the end, I was just a wreck. I didn't care where I was, who I was with. That's how bad, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Did you care if you lived or died?
No, didn't care. Well, you know, what did I have to live for, you know? I think once you've been a professional in any sport and you've reached the highest level, you know, a footballer walking out out the Etihad or Old Trafford, it's hearing the crowd, hearing there's only one Ricky Hatton, never mind falling out with the people that love me. Mm. Never hearing that again was like nervous breakdown material for me.
In terms of what the Rugby League World Cup 2021 are trying to do in terms of their various initiatives and thinking of ahead of the game, if you were casting your mind back to the younger Ricky Hatton and beginning on the road of boxing and the kind of help around mental fitness that is available now was there, how different might things have looked for you?
A million percent different. A million percent different. Whether, you know, you've got problems, whether it be an injury point of view or mental problems, what you've got upstairs, prevention is better than cure in anything you do. It's a lot, you know, mental side of sport is just as important as the physical side. And you're going into these fights or rugby matches or football matches at the very, very highest level. And you're under that extra pressure because of the problems you've got, and there's no one there to help you. I think it's an easy question to answer, isn't it? Goes without saying, I think it would help massively. Would help massively. I mean, I went into the Pacquiao fight, knew I was beaten before the bell went.
Really?
Because I knew I was down, I knew I was depressed, I knew my training camp wasn't going well. You know, I went into that fight thinking, if I could just get him with one body shot, it'll all be over. And that's, you know, that's going into a fight against one of the best fighters of all time. So, that's because I have had this type of thing that's available these days.
Yeah.
So I think it's an absolute must. And I just commend the Rugby World Cup, what they're doing with this scheme. And hopefully other sports take it on board and we move forward from a sports perspective together, yeah.
But the best thing is, mate, you're still here.
Absolutely,
you're still here,
yeah,
and it's wonderful, Jim. Was there one particular moment, maybe a life event, that began to put you on the road to redemption, to pull you back from the brink?
When my second baby could come along, Millie, my second child.
Yeah.
And she wasn't planned or anything like that, and she'd come along, and I thought, I've got another baby along the way. And I thought, but I was still, even though my girlfriend at the time was pregnant, I was still having bad times, I was still coming home, I was still crying. And I thought, I've got to get myself together now because I've got another little one on the way. Mm. It's not about me anymore. You know, I've got Campbell already. I've got Millie on the way. Get your act together, Rick, come on. And I couldn't do it. So I went to, I was seeing a psychiatrist in Manchester, and I just went into him and I went on my knees and threw my hands in front of him. I said, please tell me what I need to do. I said, I can't do it on my own. I'm crying every day. I want to kill myself. I said, I've got a little lad. I've got another one on the way.
But I'm sure you still have those difficult days. And when you feel in yourself that things are perhaps changing, how do you go about recognising them? Are you better at doing that? And what coping strategies do you put in place when those days come?
Well, I still have them now. I mean, this is the best I've ever been because, incidentally, time's a great healer. I've made up with my mum and dad.
That's brilliant.
I've made up with Billy. You know what I mean? I've got three wonderful kids now, a grandchild, believe it or not.
What?
So it's like,
I am
like,
shocked.
If I hadn't of got off my backside, gone and spoke to someone, got myself together, look at all these good times I'm having now I'd have lost out on.
Yeah.
So that's why I try and bang the drum every day about this mental health thing. And I mean, it doesn't just leave you because life's good. One day you'll get up, you're in a mood, you don't know what's up with you. But it's just the way it is, what you deal with. And I either go and speak to someone, or the best thing I find is going to the gym. You know what I mean? If I'm having a bit of a bad day, if I go put my gear on, go and have a bit of a run, fresh air. But the minute you finally get your backside in gear and get your bum off the couch and do a run, or go to the gym and do it, you feel 10 feet tall. And that's what I do. Or if I don't do a run, I'll come to the gym. I'll put the gloves on the bag, have a go in the bag, do about 5 or 6 rounds, blow off a bit of steam, go home then, sit down on the couch, have a cup of tea. I find that helps me alone, you know. The longer you sit there dwelling on stuff, the worse and worse it goes because it builds up. I think the minute you feel it, do something about it. Get up, go and do a workout, go for a walk, you know, go and speak to someone.
And you're incredibly open about this now, which this interview is testament to. Do you think your career would have benefited if you'd been able to be open about some of the things you were struggling with back in the day?
There was a stigma back then when I was fighting.
Has that changed now? Has that gone?
100%, because I think more and more people are calling out, and they need to do, because you can't see with mental health. If you've got a bad arm or an achy arm, you might have a bruise or you might have with mental health, you can't physically see it. So that's why so many people banging the drum to come out and say, listen, I'm struggling. And I think that help wasn't available. If you come out and said, I'm crying every day a few years ago, everyone would back then would have turned around and said, come on, man up, what's up with you? You say it today now because it's so out there and in the public eye. I think people respect you more for saying it now, where back then they'd have laughed at you. And I think that's the difference.
What are you doing within this very gym with the fighters that you're working with, the careers that are just beginning, they're in those infant stages? What are you doing in terms of the lessons you've learned to help them navigate some of the issues that you face throughout your career?
Yeah, I feel the need that, you know, if one of them's having a bit of a bad day, a little tap on the shoulder, are you all right, what's up, you know? Because, I mean, I feel my job is not just in the gym telling people, you know, what they're doing from a boxing perspective. I feel my job is banging the drum for mental health now. That's equally, as much as I'm a boxing trainer, I feel like I'm an ambassador for mental health now.
Because we talk in life about sliding doors moments, we talk about not knowing the story of what would have happened. If you hadn't gone through this, do you look back at anything actually in it? Because it just sounds like, from what you're saying, in a funny kind of way, obviously you don't want to have to feel these things and go as low as that, but because you've gone through that, it's taken your life, it's taken Ricky Hatton, it's opened up doors that probably wouldn't have opened up otherwise.
I feel like Ricky Hatton is in a happier place now, even when I was winning them titles.
Really?
Even when I was winning them belts. Absolutely. Because I'm not only, you know, looking back on them fights, that even the fights are lost with pride now, you know, I'm helping lives as well. And that's the best feeling you can ever have.
Given everything you've said and given everything that the Rugby League World Cup are trying to do in 2021 around the whole area of mental fitness training, is it almost as important that we are training ourselves in terms of our mental fitness as much as we are training ourselves physically when it comes to sport?
Absolutely, because, I mean, everyone in the World Cup are playing for their nation. They're in the spotlight in the biggest sporting event in their sport. And so there's bound to be pressure. So I think we've got to look at the individual, not just, you know, when you're competing at the highest level, pressure comes with that. Mm. And some people can cope with pressure, some people can't. I tell you what, I'll fight anyone in that ring, me. But I tell you what, when I come out of it, I couldn't cope, I wasn't strong enough. Mm. So that's why I needed help. And just, you know, even though you're playing in the World Cup, playing at the top is part of your game, there's probably someone in there, trust me, there's a few in there that won't be strong enough to deal with the mental side. And I think that's why we need to look at it more in sport in general, because with sport, and especially when you're competing at the high level, that adds pressure. Yeah, it brings successes, you know, nice pats on the back and belts and big trophies, but it also brings a lot of pressure because, you know, once you start performing at that level and then your performances start dropping a little bit, that's when we need to look at professional sportsmen as well, because that's normally when you reach them highs and it's gone. That's when you need your biggest help. Because that is, it's end of the rainbow stuff, winning world titles, Las Vegas, your name's up in lights. Imagine how that feels, there's only one Ricky Hatton. That is dreamland, end of rainbow stuff. But you can't maintain that high for the rest of your life. So there's obviously a come down from there. And it's when that come down, some can cope with it, some can't. And we need to spot it early, I think.
Well, Ricky, you're helping loads of people already, but I have no doubt that what you said here today is going to help even more. Can I just say I'm so glad.
Hope
things
so.
With your parents, with Billy, and life is looking good.
Life is good. Hope so.
Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Top man. So that is why at next year's Rugby League World Cup 2021, we are going to be providing, with Movember and Rugby League Cares, some mental fitness workshops in our very own host communities. These are going to be available for everyone, including the players, match officials, team officials, and volunteers as well. Now, if you've been affected by anything that you have heard in today's interview, then please don't hesitate to go to movember.com for advice and help there. And if you'd like to find out any more about this Rugby League World Cup 2021 mental fitness initiative, simply go to rlwc2021.com/mental fitness.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.